the meeting to order, please. Can I have a roll call?
Kurt Olsted. Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Timothy Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James. James Mengucci.
Here.
Paul Richko. Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sedetich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Boden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to pertinent newspapers for circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highland Council's website. Please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item up is approval of the partial minutes, March 15th. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Excuse me.
Abstain.
Councilmember James. Partial minutes.
Minutes? Yes. Sorry.
Councilmember Mengucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko. Councilmember Sedetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Boden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Can I get a motion on the approval of the full minutes?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted. Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtaway.
Abstain.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Mengucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Sedetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Boden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next, we have the chair's report, which I will defer. Is there any council committee reports? I'm not aware of any. So at this point in time, I'll jump to Mr. Van Ams for the acting ED report.
Thank you, Chairman. To be short, update on our progress to date on plan performance process. As we've mentioned before, we have 60 municipalities and 5 counties that have submitted petitions. And of those, now 57 have been deemed administratively complete. In terms of updates, we have, at this point, I wanted to mention, we have, as of this week, finished our review of all of the complete petitions for plan conformance. We now have simply 3 remaining petitions in-house that we are working on that are currently incomplete. All of the other 60 petitions, the reviews have been at least sent out to the municipalities for their consideration. So I'm pleased to say that we've made that progress. In terms of approvals, those are the approvals that are up on the screen here. I'm not going to read through them. Included, started to highlight those that have Highland centers associated with their approval. And this next slide shows the designated centers to date around the Highlands region. In terms of approved petitions, as noted in the last meeting, we have 39 that are approved. Alexandria is again on the agenda today. That would make the 40th approval out of the 60 total petitions to the Highlands Council. And we just have this one slide showing basically where we will be should Alexandria be approved today. In terms of implementation of approved plan conformance activities by municipalities, this slide shows the current status of implementation. In red are new activities since the last council meeting, and you will notice that we have, among other things, two new municipalities that have passed their planning area petition ordinances, Hackettstown and Oxford Township. Hackettstown has also passed the checklist ordinance that makes them eligible, among other things, for approval of a wastewater management plan from the CDP. So we have just completed that draft wastewater management plan and passed it on to the town for review. So we're making progress on that as well. In terms of the dollars, you've seen this slide before. We've updated it as of just recently, but we are still very much seeing municipal expenditures that follow along with our expectations for the base grant and the municipal response period. And with regard to the amended grant agreements, we're pretty much up to speed on getting the amended grant agreements out based on Highlands Council approval, and these are the updated amounts for the various types of implementation plans. And with that, I will consider the acting executive director's report complete.
Very good, Mr. Van Epps, and thank you for filling in for the last month so rapidly. Next item up is consideration of resolution approval of submittal for the 2011 annual report. This has actually been sent to Trenton already because it had a due date, but we do need official action by this council, so if I could get a motion on this.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion on the report? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holterman.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manbucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Peng.
Abstain, it was not in 2011.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Alexandria, Hunterdon County. As you recall, we had this at last month's meeting and held the public comment. We were awaiting to see if the township had held a public comment period when they amended their plan to include only the preservation area and not the planning area. And we have been supplied with that. Mr. Van Epps?
Yes, we have the Alexandria petition that was dated April 11th, 2012, specifically for the preservation area only. So that is the operative resolution at this moment.
So at this, there's already a motion and a second on the table. In reference to this letter, I will reopen it to the public just on this letter alone. Does anybody in the public have anything, any comment? Seeing none. Any further comments from council members?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tracy Carluccio.
Yes,
I noticed that the public hearing has been closed because we held it last time. However, I think it would be reasonable for us to open for public comment on the full application since apparently there was action taken by the township in the meantime, and I would like to hear from any members of the public who participated in the hearing that with and the vote that was taken by the township.
Ms. Carluccio, I appreciate your comments, but I just opened it up in reference to the resolution, and that was if it's the resolution that you want to hear comment on, I offered that ability already, so I think we did open it to the public, and I will call for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Is this a vote on opening it to the public then?
No, this is the roll call for approval of Alexandria for the preservation area only.
Well, as I stated, I believe we should open it to the public before voting.
I believe I did open it to the public.
Boy, nobody wanted to speak. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Yes, I asked if anybody wanted to speak in reference to the resolution, and nobody wished to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for the clarification. Yes, I vote yes.
Councilmember Daugherty. Councilmember Dressel.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manducci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is number 12, consideration of resolution, position of the Executive Director of the Highlands Council. At this point in time, as a member of the Personnel Committee, as the Council knows, the Personnel Committee submitted the name of Gene File to become the next Executive Director of the Highlands Council. I have known Gene for over 12 years, and I strongly believe and have a high level of confidence in the fact that Gene can not only perform the duty as ED, but will excel in the position. Gene has extensive management skills in both the private and public sector, including 30 years managing his own business in the private sector, approximately 28 years in the public sector, serving on a school board as councilman, mayor, and his current status as freeholder. His 11 years on his township planning board, along with his positions just noted, not only brings a wealth of knowledge from the management side, but also the planning side. Just to mention a few of his accomplishments over the years, Gene started the first open space plan in Denville that eventually secured over 1,200 acres in open space acquisitions. Gene was recognized by local environmental groups like POW, POWW, for his accomplishments. He has served on the New Jersey Clean Air Council, appointed by Governor McGreevy, and has served as chair of the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, which allocates $1.8 billion, that's a B, in federal funding each year. Gene is well-versed to not only lead the Highlands Council staff, but to deal with the public and the advocates of varying and diverse opinions of our Highlands community, and is also capable of taking direction and performing the duties that this council will require of him. This briefly summarizes the reasons that the Personnel Committee decided to submit Gene File's name to the full council. I would like to note that the committee was under a great deal of pressure with the time constraints posed by the sudden retirement of Tom Gordon and the impending planned retirement of Dan Van Adds on June 1st. Without immediate action, we would essentially be rudderless. The process was, once the Personnel Committee made its recommendation, every council member was called by a member of the Personnel Committee and was informed of our choice. Gene was asked to call each member and submit his resume to them. Gene was made available to each member of the council so they could inquire or ask about his qualifications, experience, and ability to perform the job of Executive Director. Every council member had full access in this process. Which brings us to tonight's resolution to hire Gene File as the next Executive Director at the Highlands. And at this point in time, I'd like to take a motion.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion?
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I will open it up to the public. As always, we still have our 3-minute rule in place. If you'd like to be heard, please raise your hand. Come on up to the microphone, please. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Jeff Siddle, director of New Jersey Sierra Club, and, you know, it sort of reminds me of the line out of Casablanca that I'm shocked that there's gambling going on here. This was the name we heard more than a month ago that was going to get the appointment for various different reasons, not necessarily because of Highland's reasons, but because of Morris County political reasons. And I think the concern that I have, and I think there are a lot of qualified people who could hold this job. There are a lot of people in this administration who I think are qualified for this position. And I think the concern I have is that instead of doing an exhaustive search to look for the best person possible, it seems that this was the decision that was made prior to any type of search, any type of acceptance of resumes, any type of action by this body. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm concerned. I think that the person who holds this position should have a background in planning. A licensed planner would be preferable, or a background in natural resource management, someone even with a parks and recreation background, understanding or water supply. I think, unfortunately, Dan's retiring, but there's someone with a perfect resume. And when I look around the administration, I'll give the example of Nancy Wittenberg at Pinelands. Nancy was supported by many of the environmentalists when she was approved by the commission last year. Under this administration, she had been in DEP under different administrations. She even did a stint at the Builders Association. So it's not like I want some environmentalists. I want to make sure that the playing field is fair and level for all of us, because the Highlands are too important to play politics with. This is about the water supply for future generations, for New Jersey's major industries, whether it's food processing or pharmaceutical or tourism. And I'm really concerned by that direction. And maybe he'll turn out okay, but I really wish you would put this on hold and do a more exhaustive search, because there are plenty of people that are out there that I think are better qualified and will do a better job. And it's not just for the water supply outside, it's also for the people who live in the Highlands, like myself, who have property up here for three generations. It's also for the towns and all the people who want to make sure that the Highlands Council balances the needs of the communities as well as balancing the water protection for everyone in New Jersey. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Ms. Pams.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. Mr. Chairman and members of the council, I ask you to please postpone the vote on a new executive director for the Highlands Council. There must be a genuine broad search for a candidate who is qualified to lead one of the nation's most impressive regional planning agencies, and perhaps its most innovative one. We need a broad, if not a national, search to find the best qualified person to protect our water and other Highlands resources, not a purely political appointment. Other similar state agencies, such as the Pinelands Commission, the Delaware Canal Commission, and the State Planning Commission, employ an independent, transparent process to search for a qualified executive director with a wide net cast for applicants. This doesn't mean there's no politics involved. The governor still has a voice in the process, but the selected candidate is not entirely at the behest of the governor. An appropriate and qualified candidate should have the following qualifications: experience with regional planning and with managing a competent staff with both expertise and a commitment to implementing the Regional Master Plan and the Highlands Act. Number two, understanding that Highlands planning is about the future, the long-term future. Number three, comprehension of the critical nature of both water supply and water quality issues. Appreciation, number four, appreciation and concern about the quality of both the natural and the built environment. And five, commitment to steward natural resources, wildlife and rare species, historic resources, recreational opportunities, and scenic beauty. The Regional Master Plan, which the Council and its Executive Director are charged with implementing, is genuinely forward-looking. It is a document that truly attempts to plan for the long-term future, not just the next 5 or 10 years. The council, as you know, commissioned a number of the consultants, including New Jersey and the U.S. Geological Survey, to determine the water supply capabilities of the region and its various municipalities, as well as the capacity of the region's soil to absorb wastewater without degrading the quality of the groundwater. As you may know, most people in the Highlands region rely on groundwater. They get their drinking water from either their own private wells or municipal or county wells. Their groundwater supply must not be degraded by the region's septic systems. The residents of the Highlands deserve no less than a well-qualified executive director who is prepared by training, experience, and commitment to protect their water quality and their way of life in the Highlands by implementing the current carefully designed regional master plan. The citizens of New Jersey, of the rest of New Jersey, deserve the same consideration. An executive director who will do his or her very best to protect the water supply for the nearly two-thirds of the state's residents who do not live in the Highlands, as well as its recreational opportunities, agri- and ecotourism assets, natural and cultural treasures, and scenic beauty enjoyed by the many who come to visit the Highlands region.
Thank you again
for the opportunity to comment, and I ask you to please postpone this vote and do a genuine thorough search. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm and live in on Township. I'm in support of your proposal today. I would hope that Mr. File gets elected by a majority of the Highlands Council today so we can move forward. The searches in the past for executive directors and other personnel staffing the Highlands Council began first with Adam Zellner, New Jersey DEP. The first chair was John Weingart, New Jersey DEP. The second executive director was Dante DiPierrot, New Jersey DEP. That's where the searches seem to have ended up in the past. This would be a refreshing change of direction, I would think, if you were to confirm Mr. File today. Let's move forward, take the vote, and welcome him to his new position.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Julia Summers. I'm the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. A little over 6 weeks ago, we started hearing rumors, which I shortly started getting phone calls from members of the Morris County Republican Committee about, that there was an effort to persuade Mr. File to remove himself from the freeholders race, and that the best thing to happen to him would be to become the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We were called by the governor's office hysterical and overwrought, since which time everything we said was going to happen appears to be completely unfolding, exactly as we said it would. However, I don't believe that you are doing Mr. File any favors. You are not doing yourselves any favors of being taken seriously as a council, and you certainly are not helping him were he to become the next executive director. For a position such as this, you should be doing exactly what the Highlands Commission did very recently. They had a national search. They advertised everywhere. They invited members of their staff to apply for the position. They set up a committee, first of all, a personnel committee, except they called it a search committee. It included a mayor from the Highlands. It included a staff member. It included a couple of members of the council. That search committee interviewed 10 people, including 3 people who were staff members. And they took 2 people to the council, to the Highlands Commission, to be interviewed by the Highlands Commission. One of them was a staff member, one of them was a person who ultimately was appointed to the position, Nancy Grittenberg. Nancy got that position based on the fact that she was deemed by far the most qualified amongst the applicants. And it certainly helped her start that job leading the Finance Commission forward after that transition. Mr. Fyle will always be questioned, I believe, as and labeled a political appointee because of this process. I think it's nonsense that you have to fill the position immediately and don't have the time to do a proper search. The last thing is, Eileen Swan was an expert in this regional master plan. This council needs to be led by another expert in the regional master plan. You have few people on staff. One of the things that we have heard over and over again is how lean this staff is, but how every time somebody is lost, it's very hard to replace, and Eileen certainly is that person. Mr. Fyle may have some experience with transportation and clean air, but he does not have transportation and the kinds of matters that need to be dealt with by the Highlands Council, and he certainly doesn't have the familiarity.
Thank you, Ms. Sumner.
I believe your questions will make that clear.
Anybody else in the public speaker? Yes, ma'am.
Deborah Post. The press has been full of spin that Mr. Fyle is a landowner advocate. The Star Ledger article began, landowners in the state's northwest region who feel the Highlands Act treated them unfairly could get an ally Thursday if Morris County freeholder Gene Fyle is named executive director of the Highlands Council. Really? The landowners have no more idea where Mr. Fyle stands on the Highlands than do the Enviros. Jeff Tittle wants you to believe Mr. Fyle is a crony of the governor who will, quote, gut protections of the Highlands region. What facts does Mr. Tittle have to support that opinion? Like usual, none. Tittle's quote was in the Star Ledger, was instead of protecting Highlands water, we're going to be protecting Highlands hacks. Such a crisp, thoughtful, substantiated critique of Mr. Fyle, wouldn't you say? Mr. Fyle's only known Highlands Act record is his role as a Morris freeholder. But Morris County has never objected to the Highlands Act. Morris County declined, when asked, to join Hunterdon and Warren in actively seeking redress to a vicious law that has harmed many Highlanders. Morris County has been silent, with its eastern residents responding to greenspin in the polling booths. Mr. Fyle's re-election brochures a few years ago emphasized preservation of open space and greenness. His campaign words were greenwashed, like everything else in today's world of clueless greenness. Not long ago, Morris County, with Mr. Fyle's support, moved $16 million from its agricultural preservation fund dedicated to preserving farmland into flood compensation. That's right, all those people who knowingly bought houses along the rivers in flood zones are getting bailed out at prices of their lost houses. That's big dollars. Using money that should rightfully be spent compensating the harmed landowners of Morris County. And when you hear the political spin that there is no agricultural land left in Morris to be preserved, please know that it's a fairly large cow pie. It's true that the rich guys, like the Shaving Cream family and the mothers-in-law of municipal mayors, have been farmland preserved with sweetheart deals. And of course, Harding Township, home of the big political donors, has been preserved at six-figure prices per acre. But the politically unconnected little guy, who is unwilling to accept 25 cents on his lost property value dollar, remains burned. The Morris County freeholders simply haven't shown any care for Morris County Highlands landowners. When Mr. Fyle attended DEP stakeholder meetings as the Morris County representative, we hear he was silent, expressing no support for the plight of the landowners. There is nothing in Mr. Fyle's freeholder role or public service to suggest that there is great sympathy or concern for landowner losses, nor is there anything to suggest he will gut the protections of the Highlands Act, as the Star Ledger reports with only Tittle's rants as their fact check. The only hopeful thing I see in Mr. Fyle's background is that he built a successful business, which he sold before retiring into life of public service. Anyone who's built a business probably does get that to have the government put their hand into private citizens' pockets and remove a lifetime of hard work is not right.
Thank you for your time, Mr. President. Anybody else in the public?
Yes, sir.
Jerry Kern, Viacom. I don't know this gentleman. I only know what I'm hearing tonight, or this evening. I hear that Mr. Till and Mrs. Summer don't like him, so that kind of leads me in one direction right away. There's a possible chance that this guy may be fair. There actually may be a chance that some fairness will be brought to the Silence Council. That would be great to see. I would hope the council would vote yes tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the council. My name is David Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I want to speak with you tonight about process. What you've got in front of you is something that doesn't look very good. You are going to live with the results of this decision for a long time. And the people of New Jersey will also live with this decision for a long time. We certainly would agree that a wide search should have been implemented. A wide search that looked at professional qualifications, a wide search that was really overt so that folks could see the qualifications that you were looking for, that there was a coherent job description, that there were a number of candidates interviewed, and a decision and recommendation made by the personnel committee. The interviews certainly had no reason to be done in public. There's certainly room for confidentiality in the selection process. But I think if you just imagine yourselves running a business and you were looking for a chief operating officer, would you hire your buddy or would you look for the best qualified candidate out there on the street? So I would ask that you would re-examine what you've done and place a qualification list online and initiate a wide search. That's pretty much it, but the fact is the world is watching. So someday the water may be better or not.
Thank you, Mr. Pike. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes.
Bill Kibler, Raritan Headwaters Association, and I'm also a Highlands resident. I live in California. There's an old Confucian saying that says if a person makes a mistake and doesn't correct it, they're making a second mistake. And I think the council, in rushing to judgment on a candidate for executive director without any pretense of a real search, and personally, I think it's hypocritical to suggest that this was anything other than a decision that was made before the process even began. There's an opportunity to correct that mistake, and that's to take a step back and do a real search for a qualified executive director candidate. If you're wondering what a qualified executive director candidate might look like, there sits Dr. Dan Van Abs, and I wouldn't wish the job on Dan, but if you're looking for someone who would have the sorts of qualifications that you ought to be looking for and the sort of character that you ought to be looking for, you've got a good example right there. And I think you've made, I think you're going down the path of a bad decision. And I hope you'll have the moral courage to recognize that and correct the mistake. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. By the way, I did ask Dan Van Abs to stay a little longer. He just chuckled up.
Don't wait.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. As I hope you are aware, water in the state of New Jersey is owned by the people. It is not only a natural resource, but it's a very valuable commodity. And we have given it to the state to manage and protect for us. In the Highlands, according to your own research, which was very comprehensive, it was recognized that we are losing its quantity and we are degrading its quality. And soon, we're not going to have much left. I don't know if you're aware that water in New Jersey, is the cost of it is the fourth lowest in the country. And that's because there's so little treatment that has to be done to the water in the Highlands to bring it up to drinking water standards. So when the day comes 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now, when we have to pay to have this water treated, there's not enough for our residents and our businesses, what's going to be the answer? This is the Highlands Act, the Highlands Council, the Highlands Regional Master Plan is controversial. It hurts some people. But those are questions that our government has to look at and respond to, not just say, well, you don't think it's going to work, so let's stop this thing. What about the water? We're looking to you guys to protect it so it's there for us. And I hope you take that responsibility very seriously. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Kate Millsaps of the New Jersey chapter of the Sierra Club. The Highlands Act clearly established the Highlands Council as an independent body of, but not under the governor's complete influence. It was set up to be not of the DEP. And with this vote, the council risks losing that transparency and independence. I would urge you to hold the vote today and to begin again with a thorough national search for the most qualified candidate. If we come back here in a month after you've advertised nationally, interviewed several candidates, and it's still Gene File, well, then we've gone through the process. It was transparent, open, and he must really be the best candidate for the job then. If the personnel committee comes back with that recommendation after sharing his all the resumes from the collected candidates. But right now, we don't even know if he could really be the best candidate for the job. There has been no in-depth search for anybody else. Other candidates were told that the position has been filled and they applied. And that is a shame that we are not even pursuing other candidates, that we're just taking what the governor is giving us. So I would urge you to postpone the vote today and look for the best qualified person.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we will close the Okay.
Good afternoon. Members of the council, my name is John Fomey, and I keep hearing references to this guy who applied for the job and was told it was filled, and I am that guy. Mr. Riley was good enough to write right back and explain to me that they had received you had received a recommendation. My only reason for being here today is to wish this council the very best of luck going forward and to wish the new executive director the same. It is my hope that going forward, if you ever need help on any particular problems regarding the implementation of the Highlands Act, I am still around. And you have my telephone number, and I would be more than happy to help in any way possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Council comments?
Question of yes, point of order. If we are going to discuss a personnel matter with somebody that we may or may not hire, should that be open or closed session? There's somebody, you know, if we're going to make comments about somebody, I'm uncomfortable. Will we go into closed session on a freeholder level because we're discussing personnel or labor matters? This is clearly a personnel matter. Are we doing this properly by talking about whatever we're going to talk about publicly? Or should we be in closed session?
I put it with the AG's office that this should be public.
I know a lawyer right here that I'm asking, so.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman is correct that we discussed this.
And the answer is public why?
It's appropriate to conduct this as a public session.
Okay.
If it was a, if we're interviewing candidates at that point in time, you know, multiple candidates, and we wish to keep those names anonymous, but he has been presented to the council, to the public, and people have had the opportunities to speak with Mr. File, certainly do so again, but that's why I was told that public certainly was.
Is there any objection by the candidate?
No objection at all.
Okay. It's all right for us to discuss this in public. That was my only concern.
Mr. Chairman,
I just want to start off by asking a few questions about this procedure. I take it that Mr. File was the only person that was interviewed, is that correct?
Yes.
It is correct. And who interviewed him?
We all knew Mr. File from different levels of government, both Mr. Walton and Mr. Alstead. As I pointed out earlier, I've known Gene for at least a dozen years prior to just becoming mayor in Denville. And independently, we contacted Mr. File.
So
after we had his resume, discussed it, his qualifications.
So there was no formal interview. You didn't sit down, three of you.
Collectively?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just know that there's so many of us that are sitting up here that are either freeholders, mayors, former mayors, councilmen, and if we were going to hire in our town a town manager, or we were going to hire a county administrator, we were going to hire a superintendent of schools, this would never happen in your town or your county. You would have an interview process, but first of all, you would post the job, you would advertise your job, which I assume did not happen. But I also would like to know exactly where the name came from. It didn't come from us, and we all know, you know, Gene File, what a surprise. This is coming directly from the governor's office. And again, I'll get back to what I was saying before, that town manager, county administrator, superintendent of schools, you would do an extensive search. And this is a committee, a council that is in charge of a regional master plan that protects 64% of the state's water supply. And here we have a person that will be voted on today, that there was really no formal process. I find it very, very disturbing. The present administration, I have more of a concern than just Gene File. The present administration is backing plans, as an example, the strategic planning incentive, the waiver rule, the Permit Extension Act, that will be promoting development and sprawl into the Highlands. And I can only assume that a person that's being pushed by the governor's office will be on board to do the same thing. I cannot, in my imagination, I spoke to Gene File, seems like a nice gentleman, but because of that, I cannot vote for him.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Number one, I want to thank Kurt for giving
for giving me a call when he did, letting me know what the results of the search committee was. I got a chance to talk to Gene. I find him to be an outstanding man. He has a resume that is exemplary in government service. He's been on all levels and has done a terrific job where he's been. That being said, I've got a couple of questions and then some other comments. How many resumes, Mr. Chairman, were accepted on this application for executive director?
The only resumes I've seen are Gene Files and Mr. Dunnage's.
Okay. Was there a reason why Mr. Dunnage's was not accepted, why there was no interview?
His came in very late in the process. I believe it was after he contacted council members.
Okay. Did the members of the personnel committee read the resume?
Mr. Dunnage's?
Yes.
Yes.
And there was no merit to the resume at all?
He had some real life experience. He's also a member of the Highlands Coalition. But he had, you know, on face value, on paper, qualifications.
When the search committee was doing their search, was there any consideration given to expertise in environmental areas, you know, the planning areas of the Highlands Council, knowledge of the Highlands Council Act itself?
Well, I think when we got together, we, and feel free to chime in, the other members of the personnel committee, we felt the process was forced upon us to be expedited. With Dan Van Abs leaving, if you've seen our appointment chart for the Highlands Council, there isn't anybody after Mr. Van Abs to run this department. We're down to two leaders now in a transition period that should take place. We have till June 1st, we have less than about 6 weeks from today, to get somebody in place to have any kind of time to work with Mr. Van Abs. And we're still shorthanded.
Any position that this council itself did?
I don't recall asking Mr. Gordon to resign.
But that was a offshoot of the firing of
regardless, I did not ask the director to resign.
But as a result of the firing of Ms. Swan, that resignation took place and we're in this position because of an action that the council took.
Okay.
So we now do a search, an expedited search. We take one resume on a position that the Highlands Council put itself in to start with.
Is this
a
question? I don't know where you're trying to lead to. I was trying to explain the process of where we were.
Good.
And when we got to that point, we realized time was of the essence, and we wanted to get every council member as much opportunity to talk to them as well. We thought about the process of bringing in smaller groups of people, which, you know, so there was not a quorum to speak collectively with them. We just didn't think we had the time or ability, so we made Mr. File available to all members.
So the process was short-circuited because of the June 1st deadline.
I disagree with your
characterization
of it, but the June 1st deadline did have an impact on our process.
All right, and a short time after Mr. Files' application came in, there was another resume that did merit some thought, that had qualifications in the areas that are necessary and could have had an interview before this meeting.
Potentially. Wasn't taken into consideration.
I've got a problem with the process that has taken place here, as I did with the process that took place over Ms. Swan's fire. I find Mr. File to be a fine gentleman, as I said. You know, he does have good experience in a lot of different areas. When we were talking, I asked him half kiddingly, I said, I've been on the council since August. Do you believe you have more or less knowledge of the Highlands Council Act than I do? And, you know, we laughed, and he says, you know, I really have no idea of saying, tell me. And I said, yeah, I understand. And that's my main concern. When I came on this council 8 months ago, I had an executive director here that I could lean on. that I could learn the ropes of the Highlands Council, and I was comfortable learning those from the executive director and the assistant executive director. I believe I need that as I go forward, and I don't believe that, unfortunately, in this area, Mr. Foyle has that expertise. So I'll be voting no.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Now, my father taught me using the old sayings. Every time something would come up, two of them come to mind. One is haste makes waste, and if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I understand Mr. Van Nabs is planning on retiring on June 1st. We'll send one of our police cars down to bring him in on June the 2nd. I understand there's a lot of pressure brought on by that. I spoke at length with Mr. File, and we had a very good conversation. Is he qualified? He could very well be qualified. However, there's a process here, and there's a public expectation that we follow a process, that we do a process that is consistent with the nature of government, the open process of government, the requirements of a free society. And I'm afraid that at this point, this is not meeting my standards as a person who has taken an oath to uphold the law, and this is not how I was on that minister. And I think that we are shortchanging the people of the Highlands and the people of the entire state of New Jersey, not doing a open and thorough search. I think that there probably is a staff member that could take over, but I think that we're jumping the pressure, we're possibly jumping to a conclusion that I think we don't need to make an error in doing, and that the importance of this does deserve a true open process, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I would point out, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I just want to speak more to the process, because I've had the privilege of being here for every executive director search, and I think the only other person who has done so is Tracy on the telephone. And I think the only thing that differentiates this search from any others today is that the environmental community is against it, is against the candidate. Because I can recount, and I've got all the minutes, I've got all the resumes here today. This has been just the same as any other. Adam Zellner never did a thing in the environmental realm in his life. He's worked for congressmen, he worked for the governor's office. We were told to hire Adam Zellner. It was Governor McGreevy. We had contact with Governor McGreevy on a regular basis. Adam Zellner was rubber stamped yes. Then came Dante DiPiro, when Adam was pulled into the governor's office. Dante's experience in environmental issues was having worked for the DEP for 1 year prior to coming to work here. He applied for the original executive director's position, didn't get it. Received the job of assistant executive director. Interestingly, Adam's degree in education was economics. Dante's degree, bear with me a minute, was history. Dante failed pretty miserably, and coincidental with our decision to shake things up and Governor Corzine's desire to shake things up, a new search, quote unquote, was initiated, and concurrent with Dante's resignation, in light of his awareness that things were going to happen in his career if he didn't resign, Eileen Swan was formed. And just so you understand the time frame for that, we had a concurrent search, which was limited within state. I do have the search. I can't find any records of any advertising having been done. From what I can tell from all the records, there were just three applicants, including Eileen. My recollection is that one other of the three might have been Tom Borden. And then there was a third, which I think was in-house. And we knew on March 22nd of 2007 that Dante was officially leaving. That was when we had a council meeting. The personnel committee met on March 26th, which included Chairman Weingart at the time. We had a special executive session, the entire council, on the 30th. I know that date well because my son was born that night and I participated by phone from St. Clair's Hospital. And that's when we were basically told that I lead Swan as the selection. And on the 5th of April, we had a special meeting to vote on I lead Swan. It happened that fast. That's the facts. The minutes are here. I got the resumes here. It happens that fast. Been here for all three. The team's abundantly qualified. He has tremendous management skills. He's served on Board of Eds. He served as mayor, councilman, freeholder. It's a very strong resume. I've seen the people come in and out of the doors of this place. And Gene will do a fine job running this council and running this office, and I have no doubt about it. I have no reservations in voting to support him. But let's be fair. The only reason this is an issue this time is because the environmental community is concerned about Gene and not having a candidate that you could have been able to influence choosing him.
I dispute that.
Well, you may, but that's
how it is. It's not a correct analysis,
sir.
It's
the analysis I see from my bench.
Well, you need glasses.
And you're out of order. And I'll have you removed.
I don't care if I'm out of order, sir.
Mr. Alstead?
Yep.
Continue.
I'm done. And his outburst, I would suggest the truth on my part.
Anybody else on the council have any comments?
Mr. Chairman.
One second, Tracy.
Two comments. Number one, before I became mayor of Bedminster, things were done differently in Bedminster, and I would not tolerate. I'm not going to go use past practices here as a function of what is correct to do, number one. And number two, it is a process, and it's a process that we should go through. And just because they did it that way in the past doesn't mean that we have to be forced into that process today.
Thank you. Mr. Mizzioli, that'll get you, Tracy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I listened to the public here today, and I listened to council members' input, and I must say, coupled with that, I had to read 72. I don't know if any other council members received 72 emails, but I received 72 emails, okay, from different people. Same title,
same
input, and so on. And I read the first four or five, and I said, well, I guess they're all the same. But there were 72 of them. Yes, I have fielded phone calls initially from Mr. Ostey, and I appreciate and respect that input. I respect, and I received phone calls from our chairman, Jim Riley. Jim, I want to thank you for your objectivity as well. I received and fielded phone calls from Mr. Pyle. We had a great conversation. He and I are from the same county, adjacent towns. I respect him for his accomplishments, but rest assured, I will vote objectively here today.
Thank you, Mr. Mizzioli.
You're welcome.
Ms. Carluccio? Tracy?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment about the process and some substance as well. I did serve on the personnel committee since the inception of the council, and I think there's just two things here. First of all, we are in a different place and time right now with this with the regional master plan, and we're in the process of conformance and implementation, and we're at a very important point in the development and the implementation of that plan. And I think that looking back on how we may or may not have handled personnel committee matters in the past, executive director hiring, it's interesting, but I don't think it really should spell out how we deal with the crisis that we're facing today. I think I would like to say that there were several candidates for the position when Doug McAtero interviewed, and also when Eileen Swan interviewed, and we interviewed several candidates, there weren't just the two or three. The positions were advertised, and there was a search done. I cannot vote for Mr. Pyle today because we have not conducted even the minimal search that was done in the past. This should be advertised, we should do a national search. And as others have already said, this is a key position and an extremely important plan that 5 million people, water supply. So we really, at this moment, have created a crisis, you know, we're in the middle of the spring and we're changing horses, and this crisis is really a manufactured one. And I think it's beyond ironic that the statement was made in the beginning that somehow we have to move quickly, and we don't have time to do a search, because Eileen Swan was fired, and the deputy director, Tom Gordon, resigned. He resigned as a matter of conscience because he did not feel he could go forward in the position after the executive director had been fired. That situation resulted as out of actions that were taken by this council to upset the apple cart. And I feel very strongly that that crisis is a manufactured crisis in order to be able to then hand to us a manufactured answer of having somebody on a silver platter, and it's nothing personal about Mr. File. I believe that we have people on our own staff at the Highlands Council who would be able to fill this position just as well as his. And I don't know that we have really, withdrawn out our staff to come in and apply for this position, because I believe we do have several good candidates there, but I also believe that out there in the world, in New Jersey and beyond, we have a lot of qualified people who could really serve this council well and try to get up to speed in this the situation that we created here. So I think, first of all, we should back up. We should look at the various positions that are open, and they include the deputy director, the general counsel, and the executive director. We should look at these three things and our organization chart and decide how best to go forward. From what I understand, there are some decisions being made that I'm not privy to about not even hiring counsel to replace Tom Gordon, which would be a terrible mistake on the part of the council. We need to be served by an attorney that represents the council. So we need to look at that position, the deputy director position, and the executive director position in a comprehensive process to try to fix this problem that this council has made for ourselves. So to grab at whatever has been presented to us as a fait accompli, to me, is simply not acceptable. And I believe because of our point of development in the implementation of the regional master plan, the decision needs to be made more sensitively and with more care than ever before in the past. So I challenge us to set this aside, to take a comprehensive look at the executive position at the council, and then make the decisions that are going to best serve the council and move ahead the regional master plan according to the way the act was set out. And I feel also compelled to say, I believe that the reason that Eileen Swan was fired is because she was not willing to go along with certain directives on some new members of the council to stop having planning area towns the plan. And I am very interested to see if under new management, if I am outvoted today and others who have said they're not going to vote for Mr. File or outvoted today, are going to start a process to stop the implementation of the regional master plan as it's been going forward and revisit, quote unquote, the goals and the directives that are in place under the regional master plan now. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed to us making a decision today. I'm opposed to Mr. File being hired today. I believe we need to do a comprehensive analysis of our executive needs at the council and an exhaustive search to find the special people that need to fill this role.
Thank you, Ms. Garland. Chair. Sure.
First of all, I'd like to commend the Personnel Committee for so quickly making the choice and bringing in a very well-qualified candidate. Political savvy, which you're going to need here. This is a political committee. We've counseled. We are all political appointments. I want to talk about the process. I am going to vote yes, Mr. File, because I hate to see those seats empty for any length of time. There were many seats here for the past couple of years that sat empty while there were nominations made to be filled. Process didn't get those seats filled. I was nominated myself in 2010, didn't get confirmed until this year. That's how that process works. We now have a committee member here that's in the fourth year of their expired term, while there is a nominee sitting on the side, politically motivated, has not been confirmed. The process as it is now is not working. I'll be glad to see that.
Ms. Vogt?
A couple things. The process. Are we going to, after comments from council, going to have Gene finally there for questions?
If you'd like to ask Gene a question.
I've got a lot of questions, thanks.
Okay. Are these some of the same questions you spoke to him about previously?
I had one conversation with Gene File, a couple emails back and forth in Texas, and received his resume. The process for me is simple, and I don't know who spoke about it, but when you're in a position where you're going to hire somebody, or even whether you're a mayor, you're going to appoint somebody to the planning board, just use the analogy of appointing somebody to the planning board. When I appoint someone to my planning board, I don't sit there and expect him to vote the way I think. Once he's appointed, he's an individual thinker, and he can vote on what land use laws are, et cetera, et cetera. I don't try to influence my planning board or any members, and I don't suspect any of this council is going to try to influence any executive director. However, I think there's a process that I've learned. When you're hiring somebody, I'll just take another example, as a chief financial officer, that you go through a process, an interview process, and that interview process consists of a number of people who have background in finance, auditors, former financial CFOs, etc., mayors, business administrators. I think that the fact that the decision was made in the process of one candidate and that push put forward was really not in-depth questioning of his position, what his understanding is of the Highlands, what his understanding is of water resource, what he, you know, different, a million different questions. Does he understand what the goals are, you know, in the master plan, what the objectives are? So there's a lot of questions, and I think the process is the key. I'm not saying Gene File's not the guy, but it's the process. And if the process is flawed, then the candidate who's seeking for that executive director's position, I don't think he's even given a fair shake. So I think it's important that at least for the problem how the other council members feel, I thought that the way this was going to run was first I thought the public was going to have at least the ability to ask a question. Is that, if I asked you about that, you told me that wasn't going to happen. The second thing I thought was going to happen was council members were going to have the ability to have Gene File up here, who I know personally as a freeholder, he's done a good job, would have the ability to ask him questions publicly and get his position on record on what he feels on affordable housing, on what he feels about regional planning for the state of New Jersey. There's a number of questions that I need to have answered. And I think the process would be, and I don't know, Bruce brought it up, if there's a closed session time for council members to ask a number of questions so the public doesn't have to sit here for 10 hours of questions.
Well,
I don't know.
I think that was the process that we set up. We afforded you every ability for you to get every single one of those questions asked and answered with the candidate.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to ask a candidate what his position is on something. I want it on public record.
But an interview, you just said go into an executive session.
Yes. And then it would, well, I would just say, I'm not saying what, I'm just asking you. I'm not telling you. I'm just saying, is that the process that maybe we should go, we can have closed session to ask questions, then go to the public and put those questions back out. I mean, I think it's, and I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody other than that people have the right, the state of New Jersey, to know who's going to be representing the Highlands as the executive director of one of the most precious resources the state of New Jersey has, which is water. And, you know, it's I don't think it's, I mean, he has NJTPA experience. So what is that experience? And one of the questions I would ask him is, what experience does that bring to his transportation, you know, issues with the Highlands?
with impervious coverage, with asphalt and roads. I want to know what his vision is, his mobility vision is. I mean, I think those are responsible questions to ask somebody who's seeking a position of this high up. I just don't think it's not a witch hunt or anything like that. It's just legitimate questions that I think need to be answered. And if the council position is not to do it that way, then I'd like to know that. If the council is going to ask Gene Fowle questions, I think that's the way to go.
I anticipate that there may be a follow-up question or two, but I did hope and anticipate that we weren't starting from scratch this evening.
Chairman, I have questions on Snake Hill Project in Denville. I've got questions on his position on open space. I've got questions on what happened in Denville when it was rejected and then the business deal was made. I have the newspaper clips. I have legitimate reasons to ask these questions, to know his position, because it's not about whether landowners should be compensated for their land. It's really about what his knowledge is about planning and about moving forward with the hunt.
I'm not suggesting that you couldn't have gotten those questions. I'm not trying to prevent you from having them answered. I would have hoped that you would have asked and had them answered already. That's my point.
Well, I disagree on the one issue that a position of this level, I think, is required, that it should be, maybe not required by law, but it should be required, at least in my opinion, for Gene Fowle to answer these questions, no matter what questions it is. It may just be a simple question as, what do you feel about affordable housing, when there's nothing mandated that has any teeth that force people to do affordable housing, or is that why people are moving through really fast with these planning and preservation compliant with the Act, so they can bypass affordable housing, because there's nothing really with teeth to force it. So there's a lot of questions, and I think that Tracy has picked up on it. I think a few other members have picked up on the process. Not that Gene's not the right guy, it's the process. And I think that there's at least a few of us that probably have some questions. At least I think they have questions. I mean, I can't vote unless I get him a public record on his position. I mean, this is an important position, and I'm not saying that he's not the guy. I'm just saying that I think that the public, because it's their water, has the right to understand who the council is going to appoint as the executive director. I don't think it's complicated.
I think we were put here to do just that, Mr. Walton.
I have not relinquished the chair. I have not stopped yet. Under Robert's rules, I have not stopped.
I would ask if other council members felt anything, and I'm allowing Mr. Walton to
Chairman,
answer your question.
Chairman, you did not ask me if I was prepared to, but that was it. So I have not, under Robert's rules, relinquished my.
But if Robert's rules isn't the.
It is.
So it's not. You could ask the attorney.
Chairman remains the.
You asked this question.
If I didn't give up the.
You asked
my
question.
Time.
It's
discretionary, sir. You're not going to allow me to continue.
No, I wanted Mr. Walt to answer your question.
Will you come back?
Will you come back?
You have 2 points. One not related to the mayor's comments. The other one related to this with the mayor. Is that that's pronunciation, sir. I hope that's correct. I received his email and resume at 11:35 Wednesday night, about April the 11th, well past the time that we had met, well past the time that we had made our selection, well past the time that Mr. Fowle had begun making contact with this council. So, with all due respect to Mr. LeMay, that's a little too late for us to reconsider in my mind. As to the mayor's comments, I guess he stepped out. We're not interviewing a member of the council. We're selecting a member of the council, in which case his opinions on open space and whatnot would be germane. We're selecting an executive director. When we hired a new administrator for human services in Hunterdon County, we didn't say, how long do you think unemployment benefits should last? What level of food stamp is appropriate for a certain income level? We asked you, can you dutifully administer what the Board of Chosen Freeholders asked you to do. And that's what is germane to our choice tonight, not his own personal opinions about open space or farmland preservation, but what is he going to do in carrying out his role as our administrator? If we say jump, his job is to jump. If we say pave over the whole of Highlands, he's going to start paving. If we say tear down every impervious surface and plant grass, that's what he's going to do. So I have every confidence that we've made a wise choice. I've read his resume thoroughly. I've talked to him often. I knew him before this process began. I've met with others who have worked with him intimately at NJTPA. I have every confidence that he will be a responsible executive director. I think that the water will be as clean right now as it will be after we appoint him. And I believe that we should move forward, appoint him. I don't need to know, sir, you know, whether you think open space tax should be set at 3 or 2 or you know, all of those issues. You're our executive director. Your job is to do the will of this board. And whatever your own personal opinions may be about the issues of the day are secondary to the fact that you're going to answer to us. And that's where I think our questions of the candidate should end, not with his own personal political opinions about whatever issues may be germane to us personally.
Sorry, you missed part of that, and I think Mr. Walt made an excellent point. We're not hiring him based upon his opinions of how he feels about COA and open space. He's hired to do what we ask him to do.
Well, let's put him on the chair and let's ask him some questions.
Well, I'm not going to open it up to 100 questions, Mayor, because
so what you're doing, Chairman, you're gonna squash me from asking questions?
No, I don't want you to ask me a couple questions, but
I have a number of questions.
They have to be
germane to the board. Okay, when he brings up, I'd like to know if he understands what HUP 14 is. Do you understand what HUP 14 is, Mr. Fowler?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so those are questions he can answer.
That's a good thing.
I don't think that's a good
thing. You don't think water's important?
I don't think that the knowledge that he has, environmental knowledge, he doesn't need a PhD in environmental science to be an executive director. Those biggest business failures in this country are construction companies and restaurants because carpenters and cooks don't direct, they don't manage, they go broke. We need somebody who can manage people. We need an executive director. Handle people, carry our message to the public, bring the message from the staff to us. We make the decision. We should have the knowledge. We were appointed, each of us, for a particular bit of knowledge. Together, we're supposed to make the proper decisions. He is the intermediary. He is the director. I don't think it's important that he has all this knowledge. We could hire somebody that does have all that knowledge. PhD couldn't manage people in this whole thing fall apart, and we wouldn't be prepared.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I can't decide if I'm in an episode of the Twilight Zone, Marx Brothers movie, or a documentary on bad government and bad politics. I think that's more likely. Let's talk about reality here. Talking about this position. About how he would be responsible to us. This isn't going to be, ladies and gentlemen, a direct appointment by the governor. And he will take his orders from the government, from the governor, not the governor, the governor. That's the reality. So all of this is...
I object to that, Mr. Chairman.
No, because
you're assuming that...
Well, where did this name come from? Where did this name come from?
Rich, don't listen to me.
Did you advertise...
You're going to give up your vote for the governor?
Absolutely not.
But you will. Suggest everybody
you
else
will. And
certainly
all,
don't say I will.
Because absolutely.
Anybody else that hasn't spoken yet wish to say anything? Yes, sir.
Mike Savitich. I'm assuming Mr. Files has good political credentials. Seemed like a nice person. People have spoken on his behalf. But I don't think we should vote for him tonight. The process is flawed, as many people have already said. I think we should expand the personnel committee. It's too narrow on this council. And do a larger search and get resumes, advertise the job and get resumes from other qualified people and open it up. This was a predetermined decision. We learned about this decision weeks ago that this would be the person who would be come up for a vote before this council, and here we have it. I don't think it should have been a predetermined decision. I agree somewhat with Mr. Richko that the governor's office seems to be directing the focus of this council, and that's not good. We should be independent. So I'm going to vote no, obviously, and I hope most of my council members will also vote no.
Anybody else that has not spoken yet? Mr. Francis?
I believe that, and, that the personnel committee operated within the rules and bounds of the Highland Council. I don't think anyone did anything inappropriate. I think it was timely and as accurate as possible. And I don't think you could ask for anything better considering the circumstances. And I think Councilman Walton put it in perspective spot on. I expect that our executive director will take their direction from us. We're the ones that are really responsible, and I would expect that the performance from Mr. File should be nothing short of what we expect, which is to reproduce what the product that we tell them we want to produce.
Thank you. Anybody else that has not spoken yet? Have anything to say?
How about everybody that has spoken?
Okay, let me get
the ones that haven't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our packets today, there was a resolution 2012-nothing. There was no number on it. Further down toward the bottom, now therefore be it resolved, the Highland Council hereby appoints blank. And during our conversations here today, it said Mr. File. The executive director is hereby authorized and directed to exercise all the duties and responsibilities, blah, 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 blah. That's excellent. But the salary is missing.
I'm sorry, but I thought those were being handed out this evening. The salary is $116,000, which is less than the previous ED by $5,000.
Is there a resolution number on this one?
It would be 13.
The resolution numbers are always added after all the votes are done because we put them in sequential order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments?
Chairman.
Yes, sir.
One question I wanted to ask before. Was this, in fact, advertised?
No.
It's not advertised. Okay. I have a question for Ben Epps. Ken, you've heard tonight the banter on both sides as to, this position as executive director. And the crux of the matter seems to revolve around the June 1st deadline for retirement. You've been a member of the House Council. You've got, I know this is in your blood. It's very close to your heart. Is there any way that you would consider an extension of a month or 2 months staying with the Highlands Council in order for an exhaustive search for an executive director to be taken place?
You don't have to answer that, Mr. Manass.
Right.
It's up to you.
That's a very difficult question to answer, and I would rather not answer it tonight. My reasons for leaving the Highlands Council for retiring, I made that decision last fall, as you are aware. And I made them for reasons that are completely personal in nature, have nothing to do with the Highlands Council whatsoever.
That's fine.
So I think I should leave that.
Anybody else? Mayor? I don't think that we need to open up, as
Mr. Walton can have his opinion, and he's entitled to it. I totally disagree with him. I think there are pertinent questions that need to be asked of the public. And I think the public has a right to know his position on certain issues and his vision. And I'm not going to change my position on that. But what I need to have more of a clarification on is the process. If we do not take this vote tonight, which I don't think we should, because we don't have enough information, one of the questions that wasn't asked, was just asked by the judge, was this vote, was this put in the paper, was put on any national search, was there a had, and there hasn't been. So, like I said before, it's about fact-finding that you're going to hire the person who is the best for this job. It may be Gene File, what do we know? We only know the resume, and if you expect me to make a decision on a couple of texts and an email and a phone call and looking at his resume, I just don't think that's proper. I think that the public has the right to know what people's positions are when it comes to this position.
He believed nothing should be built up here, it wouldn't matter, because he'd be working for us and taking our direction.
Listen, it's just my opinion. You can have a different opinion. So my thing is about June 1st. If we don't fill this position tonight, June 1st is just a number. Well, does the state of New Jersey have the authority to send people up here in the interim if you don't have an executive director? I'm sure the state of New Jersey has very qualified environmental lawyers, people from the AG, whatever we need to get up here in the interim while we do this, while we really find out if this is the qualified person we want for this job. It may be. I'm not sitting up here saying Gene Files not the right guy. He's got great transportation. He has preserved some open space. He has been on a number of open space issues and planning issues. But I have some concerns about his background in water resource and planning and in master plan. So I just think that to rush, not even put an ad out, is a little disturbing that you didn't put an ad in and you only got, there's probably so many people out there that would apply for this, but here or there, I mean, obviously you don't want me to sit here and put him up here and ask him 30 questions. I just, they're not questions on his character, they're questions on you know, how he feels about what the council's responsibility is, and how much land use regulatory control should the regional planning entity use. I mean, there's a lot of technical questions. I mean, you use the analogy that, well, we don't have enough time. We only have till June 1st, but Gene File is not up to speed on all the highlands, the issues that we deal with, all the act. He's not up to speed. He can't be. He just probably found out a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, what's the delay? I mean, why rush? We can't get anybody from Trenton if something happens that doesn't go through. This is a serious question that I'm asking a legal opinion of.
Well, I don't think legal or the AG department is qualified to answer what is available in BP from a staffing perspective.
You can't answer that question?
Doesn't the Act give us the responsibility?
Yes.
Well,
if
I can read, there's only... Can I just...
Sure.
Point of order? Two sentences, and here they are. The council shall appoint an executive director who shall be the chief administrative officer thereof. The executive director shall serve at the pleasure of the council and shall be a person qualified by training and experience to perform the duties of the office. That's it. That's how much the legislature had to say about how we handle it.
Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you. Last thing, no offense to the governor or his office, the last thing I would ever want is the governor appointing somebody temporarily up here or otherwise. So I disagree with you, Mayor. We're all political appointments. Whoever said it, you're absolutely correct. Anybody who's sitting here who thinks this is not political is absolutely lying to the public or lying to themselves. I can tell you we fill many positions in our county as you do in every other county. I can tell you my administrator in Passaic County is not a Republican. The Democrats control of Passaic County. I can tell you if the Republicans were in control of Passaic County and they won by one vote, the administrator would then be a Republican. So let's face facts. It is what it is. The person that we hire is going to serve at the pleasure of this board, correct?
Yes.
Which means if next week somebody's not doing the job, the next meeting they can be fired, correct?
Correct.
Now, they're going to have to be responsible. Whoever we put here is going to have to be responsible to this board, responsive to this board. I can tell you this. I had this conversation with our chair. I'm not looking change the master plan or do anything necessarily differently than we've been doing. That's going to be a discussion. That's a future discussion. My only concern on this particular appointment is do they have the administrative experience to run an office, not whether what their opinion is on anything. I know Gene, Lawrence County, Passaic County are part of a 5-county, now 6-county coalition. We know the work they do in Morris County. We do talk. Other three others do talk You know, we're a legislative body. There's only 21 counties. The questions that I had for him, I asked, and they're both basically administrative questions. That's what we should be focusing on. That's how I'm going to vote. Can somebody administratively run this office? They have big shoes to fill. Whoever we put here has big shoes to fill. The office has run very well. We have incredible, incredible planning staff here. So we're used to good presentations. We're used to very good information. And we're used to a very well-run office. And Kurt, you've been here when it's not a well-run office, and you've been here when it is a well-run office. That's all we're looking for. Can somebody run this office well on behalf of this council and make their appropriate presentations to us? That's how I will be voting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else?
Mayor.
Well, since Mr. James brought my name up, I'll comment on response. And he's right in some sense. We all, when we're in politics, make appointments. But I can tell you that I did not make an appointment to somebody that I don't know what their background is and what their views are and what their background stands for. So if he gives you a resume and he answers some of your questions and you're satisfied, that's fine. But I just looked at a resume. It doesn't tell me anything until I ask him publicly what he believes in and what his experience is. So you can have 10 people come in front of you as an elected official and give you 10 resumes. They all say they're qualified. Doesn't mean they're qualified. Okay, so, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion, right? And I'm not challenging your opinion. Okay, but you know what? This isn't all politics. And you know what? The citizens of New Jersey have the right to that. That's their water. Okay, and if there's predisposed issues of development and not protecting what the Act says to protect, and someone is going to be in a position of authority that circumvents that, then I have the right to ask those questions of his beliefs. It's not, I just don't understand what's so complicated about it.
Well, I don't think somebody in our position is in a position, you're in the position, we are in the positions of authority.
Correct. Not somebody
who's our employee.
Until things change, until a group of people on a council try to change maybe how the master plan is, and then it's a whole different ballgame. So this is a bigger picture. Let's not fool ourselves. This is a much bigger picture. So I would again ask the chairman that I think that the applicant, and if you're not going to honor it, that's fine. I respect that.
This time I will not.
So I just wanted on the record that I wanted Mr. File up here, who I think is a very good person, an excellent politician, has done good work in Morris County, that the chairman is not allowing me to ask public questions.
Anybody else want to speak? Seeing none, roll call, please. Actually, before you take that roll call, there's been a lot of comments made here about the process and giving up our votes to the governor and insinuating that I may do so. I support the governor. I have supported the governor. I will support him again. It doesn't mean that everything he wants, he will necessarily get. If I support what his agenda is, I may. I said that at a town hall meeting when he was in my town 2 years ago, and I'll say it to him now if he was standing in front of me. I said it at the last meeting. You know, there's a lot of shots being taken at the governor unfairly. The governor's not sitting here. We are an autonomous board, and we can act independently. And if you look at the vote, or votes, it hasn't run across party lines at all times. It's gone across party lines many times. And many times we agree on the same thing. I think Gene Vile is more than capable of doing the job that we're asking him to. But like any other position that gets filled, if he doesn't, we have recourse. It's not like you're stuck here for life. Ben, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Daugherty.
No.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
No.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Mangucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Sevetich.
No.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Councilmember Riley?
Yes.
Motion is carried. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mr. File. Kate, can you come up and maybe say a few words? Remember that Mr. File does not assume his position immediately. The minutes must be approved by the governor before he can take the position. Worst case scenario is there's a 10-day wait period that he would have to wait, but that's yet to be addressed.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members who voted for me and who didn't vote for me. I commit to you that I will dedicate every waking hour to the council to earn the confidence of those of you who voted for me and to change the hearts of those of you who did not vote for me. And I believe it's my obligation as an executive director to bring forces together, to bring people together, to bring the entire Highlands region together so that we're all rowing, at least most of us, rowing in the same direction. I'm a big student of Stephen Covey, and he's written a new book called The Third Alternative, which says, not my way, not your way, but our way. And I've been told that's very naive, and that's not going to happen here, but perhaps I'm just an eternal optimist. I want to reiterate what the chairman said. The day that you tell me I'm not doing the job that you want, all you have to do is ask, and I am gone. It's just a matter of that simple. I'm here to execute what you tell me to execute. You tell me to do this, and I will do this. But that's the importance of operating as a council and operating as one voice through the chair. One of the things I would like to do as executive director is to draw some consensus on where does the council wish to go. What is the direction we're going in now? The council, as Ms. Carluccio indicated, has matured. It's a newer era. So perhaps we need to do some performance measuring. How are the things that we are doing working? If they're not working, let's look at a better way to make them work. And if they are working, we should certainly continue them. But I think it's time for some self-examination, too, and self-evaluation as to what we see. Mr. Richko reminded me very strongly when I spoke to him. And it was really a rather sobering comment he made to me. He said, you realize you'll be responsible for two-thirds of the state's drinking water supply. And I was aware of that. I mean, I've read the law and I've read most of the master plan. That's a rather sobering thought and a rather sobering responsibility. And I want you to know, and especially Mr. Richko, I get it and I take that very seriously. As a student of the Clean Air Council, I also see the relationship between water and air. You have dirty water, you have dirty air, and vice versa. We have major problems with our water supply caused by air. MBTE is one that Dr. Von Adams and I were talking about earlier. It's a direct relationship to the impact of air on water. So I think these are things that are subtle differences that we need to look at. The two elements we require to live on Earth is air and water. And we've got to protect them both, or we won't continue to exist. So I say to you, as good stewards, I believe we can be advocates for the Highlands through many different ways. I think we need enhanced communications. I think we need some of the good news out there. We need to talk to people about all the successes in the Highlands. We need to talk about the great things that are happening. We need to encourage people to come here in ecotourism and educational programs, as some organizations already are. I think we need to join forces with them so we get the word out. What a tremendous resource and what a tremendous asset we have here in the Highlands. There are many areas of uncertainty that we're facing that we're going to have to address. And you're going to tell me how we're going to respond. COA is certainly an area of uncertainty. At some point, by law, we're going to have to start reexamination of the master plan. An improving economy is going to put development pressures on the region. And then we have the interface with the state strategic plan and all the plans that preceded it. How do I feel about the state strategic plan? I think you want to ask, Mayor. And I feel comfortable with it with a few changes. I'm not big on top-down planning from the state on the regional, on the strategic plan, but I think it's a workable plan that pushes development into the cities. The same with COA. I think COA is not the evil plan. It was not envisioned as an evil plan. It has become one because RCAs were eliminated. RCA should be a benchmark of our COA liability. The cities want the housing. The big cities, Orange, New York, they would love to have the RCAs. They have to do it. There is no point in building housing out here where people have no job, no family, no transportation. So I hope I answered at least 20 or 30 there.
See, that's all what it's up, Chairman.
Let's not go down that road, Mayor.
It's really, you should let me ask him now, since you already got your votes.
And obviously, we have to continue looking at landowner equity and compensation. But how serendipitous it is that today we meet just a couple of days before Earth Day and celebrate Earth Day and celebrate this resource here. And I think it's just a reminder to us all that all these things will be temporal if we do not do what we are obligated to do. So I really believe the Highlands Act is way ahead of most states. I think it's very positive legislation. I think it provides us the means to a sustainable future for New Jersey and for our residents. So I hope that as we go on here, I hope the veto doesn't come from the governor. I guess the only way that might happen, too, is if he did something else after this meeting that he didn't approve of. Believe me, I'll put the council first, put New Jersey first, put the residents of the Highlands region ahead of all my other concerns. So I thank you for your confidence, and I look forward to serving with all of you. And I make myself available as this evolves and the minutes are approved. To you all, anytime, day or night. You have my cell phones now. When I spoke to you, I gave you my cell phones and my home phone, and text me. And that's another area I'd like to see us evolve a little bit into. I'd like to see some more social media. I'd like to see us on Facebook and Twitter, and really bring us into the century in how we do business. So, and that's I think the observation is I'm looking at myself as a business manager, driving the train, take you where you tell me you want to go. So. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Right.
Excuse me one second. Mr. Chairman, as I told you earlier, I have a viewing to attend and I have an hour drive, so I'm going to step out of this room.
Thank you.
Yes, please. On another matter, Devils, for those who are Devils fans, Tennessee Pipeline. I was actually in that region a few weeks ago, and what I need to do is to find out the testing records of any chemicals or any pollutants that they may have picked up. But I noticed when you go down on the road by, I guess it's the one lake in the Highlands, where they had the boom all the way across. I don't know if it wasn't there when they did the tour. There's a boom going across the lake. On the other side, there are these pillows. I mean, you can see it from the public. It's not like it's right there. You can just be on the street and see it. I'm not sure. Someone told me they maybe benzine pillows, and there's a number of them. So I don't. We'd like a report on the testing. Who's doing the testing? When the testing was done? What the results? And do we have authority to have our own testing done? Because obviously there's some stuff going on because. When these things gather certain chemicals, they sink, they change colors. And I noticed that there's quite a few of those pillows in the waterway.
Well, why don't we have, he's already making those, Mr. Van Ness, look into it.
Yes.
Is this Lake Local?
Yeah, that would be Lake Local.
Have you, may I interrupt, please? Have you notified the DEP and asked if there's no sense in duplicating services, if that's the DEP's responsibility?
Well, I think there was a, unless I'm mistaken, the chairman can correct me, but I think they're supposed to do some testing in the resolution. I would like to see their test results, and I would like to have an expert or somebody from our side or through the NJDEP look at those results and find out if something is
happening up there. I mean, it's not just there, it's on the actual, and new ED should hear this, well, 10 days. I'm sure the governor would go there.
But do we have the facilities to test? Do we have anybody that's
qualified? Well, before we get into this, let Mr. Van Abs look into it first. This could be easily answered, and if we need to do any testing or along those lines, we can certainly take those measures if it's in accordance with the resolution.
We will certainly look into it, and if there's anything that's an emergent issue, we can get in touch with the council members.
Great.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Congratulations, Jane. I believe we're here to facilitate and support the Highlands Act. But in order to gain more Highlands Council authority, rather than just supporting our executive director, we call it executive.
Sure, why not?
we could at this time require a resolution revision as certain conditions be met. And I'm going to leave off the whys and the what fors and the whereases, okay? Because I'm an engineer, I'm not an attorney. That any revisions to the existing organizational chart would be approved by the full Highlands Council. That any new hires have to be approved by the full Highlands Council. The full Highlands Council approves any new and or revised job descriptions. The Highlands Council is to receive resumes of all qualified candidates for open positions. The Council reserves the right to interview the final candidates after the Personnel Committee has done their thing. And I am of a strong opinion with respect to the Attorney General's office that there shall be no Deputy Attorney General overseeing the Highlands activities, but rather a full counsel, chief counsel, and a Deputy Executive Director who will advise the council and be dedicated to our service fully understanding the act. The reasoning I'm suggesting, strongly suggesting this, is that the Deputy Attorney General would have other responsibilities that are assigned by the state and not be the count in our council offices on a daily basis. So with that, I believe those are the kinds of things that we as a council can do and help support our newly elected director-elect in floating that course of accuracy. So
I'll second that.
Well, I would like to
hold on. Our bylaws currently have a process in place, so yeah, I think there's a. I guess the process to move fast is okay now. Executive director shall have all the authority provided to him or her in accordance with the HW. PPA and these bylaws of the council, he or she shall implement the policies and decisions of the council and shall administer the operations, office, and administrative staff. The executive director shall oversee all plans and activities necessary to achieve the council's mandate and specific goals as described in the HWPPA, including the following. Recommend for approval by the personnel committee and organizational chart for staff positions. Recommend for approval by the personnel committee one candidate to fill management positions as identified in the organization chart. They are permitted to promote, remove, discipline, and supervise employees in accordance with written personnel policy established by the council. ED will inform the personnel committee of such actions. I believe there's checks and balances already in place.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
So if you want to review the bylaws, I think that's the appropriate measure.
Well, I have read the bylaws, Mr. Chairman, and I understand the bylaws completely. But we as a council, if we want more authority, and if we're here to support the newly elected director-elect, I mean, these are the kinds of things that we should do.
Okay, but shouldn't these be presented to everybody to look at? Well, I heard a motion and a second. shouldn't these be submitted to everyone to look at?
I have
no problem with them being publicly. I'm saying, I don't even know what's on the list. You just read them off.
I just read it to you.
Read it again, Jim.
This is
doesn't matter. Sir, please, you don't have to. What I would suggest is that list be submitted to Mr. Van Asser and then to distribute to the full council so they can look at each and every one of those items and look to see if it's not already being addressed.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, we have a deputy counsel here, and it's a potential conditions resolution, and I call it conditions. Because that's what they are. We're here to assist, and I'm right behind Gene Fire all the way, and I want to help him. And I believe this council, if they're sincere about board authority, then we should.
Mr. Rosen,
I have to check back. I believe that we should move forward with this, and yes, Mr. Chairman, I would be more than happy to forward this to yourself and the personnel committee and the rest of the council members. But again, I'll say quite emphatically, I'm here to help Mr. File. I'm here to help this council. And I believe those things that I just outlined publicly at this council will do just that. Thank you.
Mr. Vogt?
I think it's important that we discuss these items, but if this is, and I believe it is, a revision to the bylaws, there's a process for a revision to the bylaws.
If I might add, you may recall from the last meeting, we have a resolution that is on hold right now, which is our delegation of authority to the executive director. And we specifically put it on hold because we knew that you're likely to be hiring a new executive director. So I think that this discussion has a lot of merit. I'm one who has always been very weary of the delegations that we've given to the executive director, which our bylaws and the Act allow us to do. So I think that really what this needs to happen is we have to have a large, all-encompassing discussion about what we want the new executive director to do. It's a largely new council, and I think it's appropriate, but we certainly can't do it right on the second.
Well, I understand, and I respect your position, because stated that many times, and I respect that. I support it. But in order to, and I understand the Bible, and I've read the Bible, I just believe that Mr. File, with all due respect, I need the assistance of every board member here, the council member here, as well as the director of that. I'm sure learning his managerial skills. He'll pull that off. But even more importantly is that we have a chief counsel on site every day as opposed to the deputy. And this is
Mr. Chairman, when do we be interviewing for a chief counsel?
It hasn't been discussed yet. There's been a lot of time put into finding the executive director, so there's been no discussion amongst the personnel committee or any other position that the CEO has done.
So I believe that every day that we've got a deputy attorney general here, we've got a potential conflict of interest that's supposed to be an independent agency.
Yes. I have that same concern.
Is you need is this an issue?
Mr. DeLoss?
I don't think it doesn't the act. Mr. Rowe, the act here specify how the council will be selected by the executive director. No, I believe it's recommended to the council. So I believe if this was going to be considered this evening, and I agree with Kurt, it should have been submitted in advance to at the last thing before the public portion of the day to throw out a very encompassing suggestion on restrictions and things that are already being addressed for a position that he hasn't even had yet. I mean, we've all been on the council for a while now and haven't seen it.
Mr. Chairman, all due respect, in my opinion, it's not restricting the executive director elect at all. It's an effort to help him and assist not only he, but the staff.
Can I ask a point of order?
Sure.
That resolution, that our failure, and I don't say failure in a bad way, but our failure to reauthorize that resolution, providing delegation of authority to the executive director. Now we again reserve all those authorities ourselves. Is that correct? Or did we extend it? I just want to be clear. What was our action on that resolution?
The director actually has, we extended it, I believe, for a couple months. But
that's what I want to be clear on. What was the outcome of that?
We extended it for 3 months.
90 days, I believe.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tracy. Are you addressing that question right now?
Yes. We're pretty sure it's 90 days.
Yes. 95 votes to extend for 90 days. The motion to table failed, according to the minutes.
Can we get a timeline on an interview process for the chief counsel?
I'll discuss with the personnel committee sometime this week. Okay with you guys?
I thought he was putting me on. Wow, that's a move. And Mr. Chairman, as I believe the only attorney on this council, may I have some input on that decision?
The personnel committee will discuss it. If we feel that's necessary, we'll certainly reach out to your professionals.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say something when it's appropriate.
Please.
On this issue.
Please.
First of all, what we did by voting, I'm sure everyone's aware, of extending the status quo with the executive director's oversight, we allowed broad powers to be continued to be carried out by the executive director relating to actions having to do with the RMP and implementation of the RMP. So it's sort of a separate issue, and so that. First of all, that means that the new executive director has these broad powers until we change that. So that's something I think very important for us to realize, and it may mean that we should revisit this at the next meeting sooner rather than later. But the second item that Mr. Vizioli brings up, I think, has a lot of merit, and I believe that there is a motion and a second on the floor that hasn't been voted yet on this. And I would like to support his resolution or his motion, and mainly that's because at this moment in time, the executive director has powers under the bylaws and through standard operating procedures that the new executive director may really is probably not familiar with. And at this point, not having the experience that the former executive director did when we have revisited this with each new executive director, I believe that at this time it's better to put these restrictions in place. And if we can't do it, if we do not, succeed in getting enough votes to pass this resolution, I would like to ask that the new executive director voluntarily state that he will not be, for instance, letting go of any existing staff before we deal with this issue in another process. And I think that's mainly the concern I have, is that nothing precipitous should happen. In the meantime, we already have enough disarray. We need to really, at this point, keep things in place. And I would certainly hope that the organization chart wouldn't be changed and that new hires would not be made, that the executive director has the power to do under the bylaws, until we have addressed this issue and whether or not we should change our bylaws to take back some of this responsibility to the hands of the council.
Well, quite frankly, I find this a change of substance. It's something that I haven't been given. Most council members apparently have not been given. It has not been advertised. It's not on the agenda. And I'm not sure it's appropriate to even take this matter up at this point in time.
Mr. Chairman,
well, Mr.
Hold on. Mr. Chairman, under Section 10 of the Council's bylaws, under Section 10 of the Council's bylaws, set out a procedure for changing, amending the bylaws of the Council.
Mr. Attorney, in all due respect, I'm not suggesting a change of the bylaws at all. Not at all. What I'm suggesting is this resolution 2012-13 is supplemented with the conditions that I cited before, because there is no requirement
That's been voted on. 2013 has been voted on.
Yes, I understand, Mr. Chairman.
It can't be
amended. For a point of clarity, or considering there is no requirement that the council has a chief counsel, and the executive director could change the organizational chart to leave out that position. That is my reasoning behind some of the suggested points that I made earlier, relative to the deputy attorney general and the chief counsel here.
Mr. Bowden.
If we were to vote on this, I would like to amend the motion. I don't think that we should vote on this. This should be put behind the resolution. Change in the bylaws, but there's a lot of information here, a lot of points being made. Should we ever vote on this, even in the form of a resolution, we should have a motion and discuss each item individually and have everybody have input into that item.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I probably agree with some of those items on there. I just don't like what you read to me
at any level.
I understand, Mr. Chairman.
I get upset with our own municipal government or something. So
I relate that too. Thank you.
So to think I'm going to sit here and...
With all due respect, initially my opening comments were I'm going to leave out the whys, whereases, and the what fors, and all those kind of things. We have two attorneys sitting in the room that can't put conditions on this particular resolution.
Well, quite frankly, this resolution has passed, Mr. Vizioli. It cannot be amended at this point in time.
I'm not saying to amend it, Mr. Chairman. I'm saying put conditions on it.
What would be passed without conditions?
Mayor? What would be the harm if there's a motion and a second, take a vote, and if it can't be done, then at the next meeting, they will give us a brief why, and we'll have to rescind it.
I'm not prepared to move forward with this because I haven't even been given it, and I haven't read it. I heard him read it once, and I didn't even hear everything that he read. And quite frankly, I think it's a thing of substance. It has not been advertised. Everybody talks about the public process, but here at the end of the night, they want to slip in something. So I'm entitled to my opinions. Everybody else seems to.
You are.
So I think this is something of substance. It should be advertised. The public should be made aware of it. And everybody should have input with knowledge of what we're actually talking about. Because nobody, well, apparently maybe two or three people have seen it, but certainly not all council members have seen this document as of right now.
Mr. Chairman, this input is my input.
Okay, well,
no
I'm just...
No other person on this council has input. This is my input, and I put it out there for council members' review and potential review.
And it should be submitted, and I would certainly entertain to put that onto our next agenda. But this resolution, 2013, is a done deal. It's passed without any amendments to it, changes to it. It's finalized. There's nothing else that can be done. So,
can you entertain a motion? It was a second. Can we get a legal opinion on that?
No.
I think you have to vote on the motion that's on the table.
Does the council understand?
Well, the question, I don't believe Mr. Doherty is asking, can this particular resolution, 2012-13, be supplemented with the conditions that I cited?
Is it point of order, Chairman?
And not
yes,
vote,
sir.
Not voting for Mr. Doherty.
We recently had a motion that was before this council. Somebody wishes to have that table. There's a motion to table. That motion was seconded. We voted to table it. That table it to a future time. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then I make a motion that we table the motion and take this up at a future point in time.
You can't make a motion over
point of order.
There's a motion on the floor.
You can take a motion to table.
A motion to table.
Okay.
And it not only is that the fact, but it also happened in the last several council meetings. We did the same thing.
If people are looking at me to want to take a vote on something I don't understand, I'm quite frankly insulted.
You asked me to take a vote on it. You asked me to the chairman to take a vote on an executive director.
Point of order.
That you had multiple weeks to talk to.
A week.
Then you're out of town, but everybody else had multiple weeks to talk to.
So I have a legal motion to table.
Point of order.
Motion to chairman to table.
Gene,
you sure you want this job? A roll call on the motion to table.
Table.
Cheapest. And his concern was we would have to spend money to put chemicals in to clean it up. So I guess the alternative was the Highlands Council to steal my land rather than pay for anything. That's cheap. That's pretty good. I like that. The other thing was I would like this council, I think the judge at the last meeting, Mr. Dressler, made a comment about trying to fast track some funding. I was surprised that he didn't make no mention of that today. I guess that vote was over, so there's no need for that anymore. But I would like to see that followed up. There has been no compensation for landowners at all. how quickly it disappears. Also, I guess the first good start would be to extend the appraisals. I believe they're going to expire coming up soon for the value of the property. I would hope that this board would jump on that before any expiration. That would be great. That would be the first good faith thing I think the council could do to assure landowners that have been waiting a long time to be compensated that maybe there is some hope. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Dear proposed Chester Township, Mr. Shope has been pummeling this council with data regarding the viability of agriculture for several years now. Is there any economic beneficial use in Highlands farming? Does the land have any economically productive use of providing food? The Greenies, the Master Plan, and others love their feel-good argument. But you can still farm! Let's conjure up that roadside view of lush cornfields, blooming peach trees, and fresh bales of hay that they spin by in their Lexuses on their way home from the office. It's the rural countryside life, so wonderful, with the AC blasting and the CD at full volume. It is the cluelessness that is so annoying. But the reality of farming in expensive, dense New Jersey is a farmer population averaging over 60 years of age who can no longer turn a profit at what they used to do. You can still farm means that old men and women without IRAs or government pensions can still go out and do back-breaking manual labor to generate red ink. All they had was equity stored in their land, as old a store of value as known to mankind. And the response is always that agritourism will save the day. I am an expert on agritourism. In fact, my mother pioneered this business long before the word agritourism was coined when she opened our orchards to the general public back in the early 70s. I believe she was the first to do so in New Jersey. Ironically, today agritourism is the business model the enviros want to shove down everyone's throat because they think it solves the agricultural viability problem, when it does not. Agritourism will work for maybe 5% of farmland. You need location. Not all farmland has location. You need a high value-added product. Not all farmland is suited to higher margin fruit and veggies. You need the personal capacity to manage retail with its mob control demands. Farmers, typically private people who prefer working alone, tend not to be suited to retail management. And you need market demand. While I know Mr. Alstead is fond of saying there's room for all in the agritourist industry, I respectfully disagree that the demand for agritourist activities is high enough to bring productive economic use with adequate return on investment to all devalued open space in the Highlands. Please do not be fooled that we can farm is anything but a mean-spirited, clueless attempt to push the crucial question of agricultural viability and landowner compensation under the rug. Thank you.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I want to say to Mr. File, congratulations. The New Jersey Highlands Coalition certainly looks forward to working with you and helping you in any way we can. And frankly, this nonsense about you guys being all powerful and able to approve appraisals, the things that we're talking about, you can ask the Highland, the state legislature to provide you with more money to help with, or the government can actually provide you with more money to help with TDR. The appraisal system is current. It is still providing two appraisals, but none of that rests here with you. You can't do that. And anybody who's been misled into thinking that you can, it's really unfortunate if you allow that to happen. It is not your job, nor do you have the power to do that. And you're not doing yourselves a favor by allowing this misinformation to continue, because people will point a finger at you when you can't do anything to help them. So please don't let that happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, thanks for letting me speak here today. My name is Hank Flump. I'm a farmer. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation area in Tewksbury. And for 8 years, I've been asking to see the scientific study that put my farm there. Senator Bob Smith has once again managed to cause my blood pressure to go out of control. As the prime sponsor of the 2004 Highlands Act, he lied to my face by saying I would be fully compensated for my lost property values. Now, in the Courier News, March 24th, he stated that Eileen Swan balanced the interests of landowners in the Highlands region with the needs to protect the 860,000 land acres that supply drinking water to the people in the state. Well, I am one of those landowners, and Swan did nothing for me. Nothing. Yet, Smith sings her praises. Smith put down Robert Walton and Richard Vogt, the two recent appointees, saying they signaled resistance to the act. Smith put down anyone who knows what is right and what is wrong and is trying to be fair. Smith still claims the Highlands Act provides drinking water. The amount of water that these people drink is minimal compared to the amount of the water that these people waste. I'm paying the price for people who have no restriction and how this water is used. I'm paying for their lawns and recreation. Donald Trump should send me a thank you note for keeping his golf course green. An example of wasted water is on the Watchung Circle. A lady environmentalist wearing a big straw hat, pretending to be a farmer, I guess, planted a few flowers and then watered them with so much water that it flooded the street and slowed the traffic. Since I've seen this flooding repeated, this is one make-believe farmer and a dozen flowers. It is happening everywhere. Wasted water, and my property is paying for it. Smith said the Highlands Act is for our grandchildren, and choices made by the council will impact New Jersey families for generations. The act has changed my grandchildren's life. My family has owned and operated our farm for generations. And now my grandchildren are being left with land that has no equity and restrictions that make operation extremely difficult. Smith got it right when he said families will be impacted, because my family sure has been. We have been robbed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. First of all, I attend the New Jersey Water Supply Authority meetings regularly. They meet once a month. And they are, like you, they are of but not from DEP. And every meeting they have somebody from the Attorney General's office as their attorney, as you have here tonight. So if you want to save a few bucks, you can just call the DAG's office. And they'll send you up someplace. It's done all the time. The master plan, as you may recall, was passed by one vote. As a matter of fact, Tracy Carluccio voted against it. So this exalted master plan squeaked through. It is not written in stone. It is subject to be changed by law from time to time. Now is a good time to take a look at it. And the previous executive directors came sliding through with me sitting in the public, not getting an opportunity to talk to them at all. They were basically handed over as a fait accompli. And as I've mentioned, the last two out of three came from the Department of Environmental Protection. And the third one, Eileen Swan, came from Ireland with a degree in English literature from the University of Dublin. So much for qualifications. Smith said, as Hank has said, that when it comes to landowner compensation, almost 8 years ago today, he said in March of 2004, that compensation would be forthcoming and we will, quote, show you the money. That's what Smith said. Okay? And at the last meeting, Mr. Dressler wanted to have the council look into agricultural viability, a subject that was raised again tonight by Mrs. Post. And I would hope that this does not slip under the rug, and that you do, in fact, look into the issues of agricultural viability and to see what is there in reality. Please do that. Don't let Mr. Dressler's request go unanswered. And my comment to what the environmentalists, as they call themselves, are really eco-socialists, and if you want to know what that word means, look it up. And if you want a park, buy it. Teddy Roosevelt did it several times. Don't make a park out of what is my land and Hank's land and Debbie's land without purchasing it. To do it by fiat, to do it by regulation, reminds me of some regimes in the past that have not worked out so well. And I find it interesting that Eileen Swan, that the prior council at least, gave basically unlimited powers to. Kurt Alstead raised the issue several times when the issue of giving her powers, and you kept on extending it every 6 months. And now all of a sudden you have a new executive director, new tonight, brand new, and now you want to basically clip his wings before he even has a chance to fly. Such a proposal by Mr. Vizioli, who I see is no longer here, is just cynical and hypocritical, and I hope you don't take it too seriously.
Thank you.
We'll leave it at that.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
It was similar in reference to the bylaw issue. I also found it very disturbing what I was seeing go on, especially when we're talking about procedure the whole night. Did we change the bylaws that it wasn't a problem when Mrs. Swan was director?
Is there no changes that have been made yet that will be up for discussion?
Okay. I'm just curious why now there's an issue with the bylaws. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have no executive session.
Chairman, can I address one thing?
Yes, sir.
In an effort to educate the gentleman that spoke before and brought up my name, I did bring up the fact that I think that the property owners should be compensated. I believe that last month, I believe that this month, I believe it next month. I do continue to push to have put on the agenda or a meeting, a discussion as to how we can compensate the property owners. That has not changed. I do not control the agenda. I again ask the chairman to put that on the agenda so that we can discuss it.
What I have to say,
how we can properly compensate the property owners that are being affected.
In the preservation or the...
I think we should look at both.
The Act pretty much dictates preservation, so that's it.
I think we should look at both.
I would like to add to that. We were just told by the public and the public that spoke about it is gone. So we don't have the authority, and we have to go back to the funding. We have to go back to the legislature for funding to compensate properly. We do have one method for those landowners who would like to keep their land with deed restrictions, not for those who want to sell outright. We have the Transfer of Development Rights Program. Incomplete as it is, without any receiving areas, it's the only method that we have
compensating these landowners. We can develop, if it can be developed, a fair, equitable, not what we're offering, 25% of the value of their property. Develop the receiving areas, concentrate on that. We can compensate the landowners who are willing to live with a fair deed restriction, a standard deed restriction that would be used on every property, not that it would be changed as the situation occurs. That is one of the things I think should be done.
What's the nature?
I'm sorry.
What would be the motivation for them to make that change? That's the problem. That's such a limited number of people that you're talking about.
There's
no, I'm not minimizing you. I'm just saying, you know, you look at how many people there are and how many people have been adversely affected.
It's the only method that there, as New Jersey's a great state,
I don't disagree
state,
with what you're
that,
saying.
The economy's going to turn around, property's going to become more valuable, but the property owners aren't going to sell for 25 cents.
I understand that.
Should we work out, and the first thing we have to do is develop and designate and have people agree the receiving areas. Without receiving areas, it's a car without a motor.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. What's the motivation for them to move
forward?
The TDR
program is one viable method to take.
That's
the problem is, in the Act, it's voluntary. And quite frankly, we're going to mandate it. There's going to be a lot of discussion, because if this body suggested that my municipality become a receiving area against the wishes of the municipality, commission.
It's fundamental stuff with the Act, and I think we have to go back to the Act to stay grounded. And by that I mean, when we talk about preservation of planning areas, I'm a great believer in home rule. And if the Act clearly states that the regional master plan was really designed for the preservation area, then so be it. That's the Act. We can't change that. I tell you what, you'll hear from me when you start talking about implementing regional master plan issues in a planned area in my municipality. You've got a battle on your hands. I truly believe in home rule, and there's a clear delineation in the Act for preservation and planning. We need to make sure that what we do as we move forward is grounded in the Act. And then when we have gotten there, we go to the regional master plan, which is, by the way, a very good regional master plan with goals and objectives, and that keeps us grounded in the preservation area, because that was your real intent.
Michael, we've got to get on with it done. We talk
Chairman.
Between ourselves.
Well, that's the way to do it.
About compensating.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any member on this council that doesn't feel that these people should be compensated. We've got to get off the dime and start doing something about it.
Well, Mr. Walsh,
yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've called for this before, and I'll call for it again. We make it the first order of this council and our new executive director present to us the full scope and suite of our powers within the TDR program, how it can be utilized to make this a viable, workable program to compensate landowners, what our limitations are, what changes in state statutes will be needed. One thing that I know of from reading some of the documentation by some of our planning interest groups in the state is that the TDR program is not something that only Highlands communities can partake in. This is something that can be sold to communities across the state if they wish to be receiving communities. That law was changed in the last several years. The executive directors that preceded Mr. File did an excellent job of going out to communities and selling the Highlands Act, selling compliance. We need to make that same effort to sell receiving TDRs. We should make it this executive director's first and foremost function to go out there and sell the TDR program to any community that will listen, so that we can make this a viable program. I concur, we cannot force those receiving zones, but we should make it our first and foremost responsibility, next to taking care of and keeping the water clean, to selling this TDR program to communities that are willing to accept it. That's the only way this TDR program is going to work, if you put the effort in. I suggest we make that a part of each and every agenda moving forward.
And I appreciate all the comments, and I think we all have valid points, and the public session is over. Sorry, Nick. But I think everybody made great points, and I think we all agree. We don't agree on many things, but that's one thing I think we all agree on, is compensation for property owners. And getting to that end result. There's some viable options through TDR, funding, and other such things. I think it is a very important item moving forward with our new director.
to start addressing those items. It should be first and foremost on our agenda. As several council members pointed out, most of the implementation aspect has been put into place. So, you know, let's try to figure out and also revisit the regional master plan with places that can affect property owners' rights as well, but we do have more say in outside of the planning area. So I agree with everyone. I think we will make a priority for our upcoming meetings to start filling an agenda. Right now, we don't have an executive director, but hopefully we will for our next meeting. So I don't know if we'll get to a lot of it at that meeting, but probably certainly at the meeting after that. Any other discussion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.